Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Interactive Journey. I'm Logan McIntosh, one of our co-hosts, and I'm here with Rachel Watson.
Hi there.
And Megan Jakowski.
Hello.
Our guest today is Dina Devinney. She is a mother of an autistic adult, a coach at Spectrum Sports, and with all the other time she has on her hands, she's a teacher. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
And to get us started a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Dina Devinney, and I am 27 years into my career as a special education teacher. I started in Monroe Township teaching behavior disordered students, kindergarten, first and second grade, went to resource room teaching specific learning disabilities. I was actually an instructional support coach within our district for a couple of years, and then I moved to another elementary school as a head teacher taking care of discipline as well as teaching full time. And now I decided to end my journey at a middle school teaching eighth grade pull out replacement language arts because I just wanted the biggest challenge ever. So
because you must be crazy.
I am insane to teach eighth graders. Absolutely. They are interesting creatures.
Dina, so. Do you live in Monroe Township?
No, I live in Franklinville. My son, Michael, goes to Delcy in the 18 to 21 year old program. And my son, Bobby, went to Franklinville schools and then went to GCIT, the technical school for plumbing. So we Gloucester County, but love the schools here in Franklinville. I like the schools in Williamstown as well, but I really like that it's smaller in Franklinville. I think that's right. It really helped both my boys. So
I live in Williamstown, but one of my favorite restaurants is Captain Cat's in Franklinville.
Oh, that's so funny. I just passed that. Yeah, last night. I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh, the seafood is wonderful.
It is good, yes.
All right. Dina, what led you to go into teaching, even in general, but also special ed?
Okay, I believe it or not, this is my second career. My first career was restaurant management. I was in college and I got a degree in psychology, and there's not much else you can do. And I was working at a restaurant, and they asked me if I would start training to be a manager. And I worked as a manager for quite a while. And then I decided that I didn't like the life of restaurant workers because you've kind of felt like a vampire and you missed all the fun events and families because you were always working. So I decided to go back to school. And while I was working in the restaurants, I started to work at a school asked me if I would help coach. And I started coaching field hockey at my old high school. And then I started substituting, kind of weaned away from the restaurants, doing substitute teaching, and decided to go back and get a master's degree in special education. I don't know why, honestly, I don't know what drew me to special education. I really don't know what drew me to special education, but I decided that that would be a rather interesting career because there's so many facets. And I have the old degree of teacher of the handicap. We don't even have that degree in New Jersey any longer. So my degree covers 3-year-olds to 21-year-olds, which most degrees do that now it's just, I think it's, an emphasis or like a side degree. I don't even know what it is any longer, but it's not the specialty of special.
It's like the concentration.
Yes.
Right. It's a concentration in. Yes. Right.
Yeah. So it's not what we used to have at all. And I think they miss out on a lot because we had classes in biophysical and neurological disabilities. We had classes on how to teach math, how to teach reading. These kids don't have that coming out of college now. They don't have the background and the understanding for the various types of disabilities, abilities, and how to deal with them or how to work with them or what even causes them. So I was kind of happy about that. So
do you think that's going to change one day?
I hope the pendulum swings back that because I think currently in education, and I know this is kind of farther down the line of questions, but I think we're doing a huge disservice to our special needs population because the teachers don't understand. We have special ed teachers that don't have any more understanding than a general ed teacher coming out. They don't understand modifications. They don't understand ability levels and disability levels. And they don't understand why a certain child has a type of disability. What happened? Is it chromosomal? There's a big difference if things are chromosomal, if it's a traumatic brain injury, and they don't have that understanding, and they don't have the, and I think a lot of teachers truly don't have the compassion for a lot of various types of students with disabilities. So I know it's not politically correct to say disabilities, but it's just, it's kind of scary where we're, education is headed at times. And I fear for my, I'm glad my son is ending, but I'm also concerned about what's going to happen for the future of education. I really am.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Michael?
Okay, Michael is going to be 21 years old in August. So he's aging out of the 18 to 21 year old program at Delcy High School. He does not initially present himself. You, to look at him, you would never think that he was any type of special needs until you sit down, talk to him for a little bit, and you can tell there's some language issues. Then if he starts getting overly happy, overly stressed, angry, you start to see the twitches, the behavioral autistic twitches. If you ask him to read something or take him to a restaurant, he can't read the menu because he reads at maybe a second, third grade reading level. He has functional math skills, but he is a very interesting young man in that he doesn't want to go to school anymore. He wants to get a job. Of course, being the overprotective mom that I am so fearful of where am I going to send him that something bad won't happen to him, even though he's a man and he's a big man. He is 6'3", 230 pounds. He's a big man. And but if he gets angry, I don't know if somebody could talk him off a ledge where he's not going to hurt somebody either. School has been a safety net and the teachers there know how to address his concerns. The other day I made a comment, you're a student. You're the student at school. Those are the adults. And he yelled back at me. He goes, I'm an adult too. I am 20 years old. So he's very high functioning. He's very aware of who he is. And he's funny as any. Oh my God, he's got such a sarcastic, quirky sense of humor. He is a hard worker when tasks are clearly laid out for him. If you don't give him very specific directions on what you want accomplished, he will be on his phone with the earbuds in and zoning out doing nothing. But then I think that's the whole generation right now. So I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's specific to somebody on the autistic spectrum or if that is the whole generation right now. Because as a teacher, I take the earbuds out, take the earbuds out, take the earbuds out.
Right.
So it's a whole.
Like you can't see them though, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good thing with boys is that you can if they have short hair.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he's a really neat, unique individual. He will have a very bright future. He'll work well in a position once he gets established. He won't be independent, though. So we have to figure out what's going to happen and where he's going to live and how things are going to go for him later in life. So especially when I'm not around any longer.
Meg, you're muted.
You know why? Because they're banging out in the hallway with some construction they're doing where I am right now. So I wanted to try to decrease that. But we talk about the transition that legally starts at 14. We start talking about transition planning. Do you feel that that was something that really happened throughout since he was 14? Or was it more like kind of lip service a little bit?
It was all lip service. And okay. I'm learning that as a teacher, I really need to start talking to parents about it. My responsibility as a teacher and on that IEP team is to talk to them about it and make sure that they do truly understand. Now, the type of students I teach are very different than my son. But my son, I even sent him back to Delcy. He was at Yale for half a year. And then we pulled him back to Delcy only because Yale was so far away. And the ability levels were significantly lower functioning than Michael, and he was getting very frustrated. But even now, I'm kind of disappointed that I thought Delcy was really going to prepare them and get them into a job placement and see where they fit the best for jobs. Now, again, everybody in the world is blaming COVID. The world of COVID stopped everything and all the placements. But I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think districts, even my own, I feel that we're not really helping these kids find a career path and to be part of the community and part of society. I don't want him living in somebody's basement for the rest of his life. I want him to have a job. And no one has really guided parents on what to do and where to go. I'm sorry, my dog and cat are fighting. Maggie, I'm sorry. But I swear the dog's not hurting the cat. That's just the cat is just irritated with the dog.
I thought it was a kid.
No, it's my dog. She's being a brat. But it's just that I think they haven't given us a clear path on what to do with our kids. What do we do with them? When he went into the transitional program, why aren't they helping us get established with the SSI and the programs and how to follow through and how much money? I'm finding a lot out on my own about do not have too much money in a savings account or a checking account because they won't be able, they'll give them less Social Security and less help. I'm like, but he needs to be able to live. I mean, like, I don't, a lot of these things I'm learning as I go to different events. When I go work at the Spectrum Splash, your team was there. I'm talking to other parents. I'm talking to parents that are lawyers. I'm talking to interactive kids about what they know. Parents are kind of left to their own and to figure it out on their own, to find resources and find programs that will help them. The school district is not providing it. I think they should have, one of the things I did, and I remember this way back as a special ed teacher, is we had to build a whole portfolio full of brochures. We had to go out and find things in communities that would help our special ed kids, tutoring services, things like interactive kids, spectrum sports. School districts don't do that. I don't know if we've gotten very complacent in our child study teams, if our caseloads are too big. I don't know what the problem is or what the concern is, but this is something that we need to fix. And even a job coach, I don't even know where to begin to look for a job coach for when he turns 21, and nothing can happen until he turns 21. Like right now he's under 21. So I can get nothing right now, or that's what I'm being told. And I don't even know if I'm being told the truth. And not my school district, but my, the Social Security, he can't get anything until he turns 21. Now, maybe you ladies know more than I do, but I'm kind of at a loss as a parent and a teacher to even advise.
We should put Dina in touch with Johanna Burke.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I think she'll know what.
And Deb Freed, both of them, mm-hmm. different spins on it, but yeah, same thing.
Right. So they'll at least know what should be available.
Where can you start? Johanna, Dina, a couple weeks ago. She's an advocate and an attorney, and her son has special needs and he lives in a group home. Mm-hmm. And she is all about, you know, advocacy and everybody being informed and figuring out all of this. And she has a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. She's been helping a lot of families, you know, work through the system.
Okay. And again, I've gone out and like I've talked to people at these events, and I think that's what we need to start building communities of parents. I mean, like I'm thinking about even making my own Facebook group. But as a teacher and a parent, there's some crazy parents out there that I have. I'm like, ooh, huh?
I don't know if they need to be on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I don't know if they need to be, like, I don't need to know if I need to create a Facebook page, and then I have to, as a teacher right now, I have to be careful as well. Because I can overstep bounds, and
that's right. But, you do. You're kind of in a dicey spot right now.
Yeah.
As far as what you can do.
Yes.
But it sounds like I didn't want to go too far into that topic, but I feel like that is something that is so needed right now. Our additional supports and resources for the transition time, but also after that into adulthood. There's just such a need. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if so much when they're younger, and then when they get older, it kind of just dries up.
And I think, and I'm going to lead into Spectrum Sports. You kind of opened up a little bit of a door there. Spectrum Sports starts at the age of 14 and it goes up and through adulthood. And I think this is Spectrum Sports has caught steam. And I happened to be talking to Michael's teachers a few years ago, and they're like, why don't you check it out? He may like it. And it's activities. He'll be a little more social. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll start. And they were like, they were at a park. I mean, that's literally what they were doing. They were just all meeting up at a park to start.
Right.
And I noticed one night, I'm like, hey, you guys, you need a little bit of help. It looks like you're kind of shorthanded. They're like, yeah, jump in. So, and I kind of like, I started jumping in as a parent to help and help other kids. And then they were like, they approached me. They said, you know, you're coming more nights than your son is coming. Like Michael only wanted to do two nights. I'm there 3-4 nights. I was really enjoying it. And they're like, do you want a job? And I'm like, sure. I said, I like it. And you know, nothing else, it pays for my gas to get here. So, and right. Then Michael started coming back a little bit more and getting more involved, but that's how it started. I was just like, sure. I mean, like Michael wanted to go and he was enjoying it and he loves just playing games. Not so much the working out part that I like when we're at like Pursuit Fitness. That's the part I like. He likes the games and activities when we're playing dodgeball or basketball or football. That's what he likes, you know? So, and that,
you know, how does the funding work for Spectrum Sports?
I know they, and I don't know too much about it. Some parents just pay themselves, like whatever cost per night. And that's what I did. Some parents use DDD. I know they use DDD because kids have to sign papers. And I don't know what else, like if they have saved, if they use it through their funds and whatnot, again, because I don't know that much about it. I just paid for it myself. So, and then when I became a coach, they kind of said, well, you can just bring Michael since you're coaching, that'll be a perk for you. So that's kind of what, you know, so, and he, and sometimes he can go and sometimes there's athletes that are significantly lower than he is and need more assistance where Michael could actually be their buddy and can help them a little bit. And it, and there's a couple of the athletes that are exceptionally higher functioning that they're training them to be like coaches, you know, like with our guidance, they are actually becoming coaches, and which is why I wish they could find a place to for themselves, that they weren't going to churches and Pursuit Fitness, that they had their own building. I swear if I hit the lottery, I was building them a state-of-the-art facility. That's, you know, and I told them I'd be a silent partner. Then I laughed. I'm like, when am I ever silent? So when am I ever quiet? So, but I think they would do even better work bringing more. I think Dan and James would bring so many more resources together for the kids. That they're very passionate. They're laid back guys and you wouldn't think it, but they're so passionate about what they're doing and getting so many different thing avenues open. They're passionate about fitness and they're passionate about special needs kids, which is a phenomenal combination for them, which they are getting me. They got me psyched up for my third career. I'm getting going to get certified as a personal trainer for kids with adults with autism. And I want to be a job coach. I'm hopefully retiring next year, a year from this June. And that's what I'm going to start doing. So that's my goal, is to get certified as that's why I want to get this knee moving along so I can get going on getting my
certification. Where you can get moving.
Well, you hit it right with Spectrum Sports because they are really incredible.
They are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They just won an award. I don't even know something in Gloucester County. And I feel so bad that I can't remember what it was, but they are really trying to get themselves out into the community and trying to help all type, especially adults, because they know that that's where we're lacking is adults. They get lost and left and forgotten. So, which is what I don't ever want to see happen. So with my Michael. So.
Are there things that you think that could be incorporated from a program like Spectrum Sports into a school setting?
Absolutely. They go into some schools now for the older. And I absolutely think, because I've started doing it when I do the summer programs, I look at some of the activities that they're doing in the summer programs. It's more than just, of course, adults need physical fitness and that's a big thing, but they also need that interaction, the ability to talk, to learn how to joke around appropriately, because that's sometimes something my son has an issue with, that he doesn't know how to interact appropriately or where you need to draw the line and where you need to, okay, that's a little too much personal space. It teaches them personal space because athletes will come in and like go to hug us or like kiss us because they're friendly, happy kids and they have to realize that you know, personal space. We do elbow pumps, we do fist pumps, we do high fives. And it's another social that stops after they leave a school. So, you know, it's incorporating, and they do have two doctoral students right now that are working on things like hygiene and how to incorporate. So I think Spectrum Sports is giving back to the education world and bringing doctoral students in for occupational therapy, physical therapy, and what they can do with this population of adults. So I really think these James and Dan are doing terrific work, and I'm hoping to be part of the, really involved in the organization in the next year coming up. So
that's wonderful.
I like, every time I hear about Spectrum Sports, I get like more inspired. I'm like, can that happen down here? Can we just have something where it's well, like, I just feel like listen, everyone talks so great about it.
There's a couple of us like that are Hamilton and want to try to get, but they're not, it's hard to get people to work for what they can afford to pay right now. But I really feel that it's going to go to the Atlantic County area next. I truly feel that they're looking to branch down into the Atlantic County area. So Lower Gloucester County, Atlantic County, Cumberland County. I really think if we can, Matt and I could find a way to do that, we would really try to get them down in that area, even if it's just one or two nights a week.
Linwood is where I live and where our office is. And Our Lady of Sorrows Church, they have four classrooms and a big gym. It barely ever gets used because it's not a school anymore. So it's an older gym, but it's up to code and all of that. I mean, it's fine.
You just need space.
Right. And then there's there's a giant field behind there too. So that's another spot. It's built right on the bike path. So the sports fields are like two blocks away. So just tuck that in the back of your head. I mean, we rented from them last year for the classroom part of it, and they were wonderful to work with. So that's awesome. Idea.
Okay.
Yeah, the kids loved the gym last year.
Okay.
Do you know, like, are there any other community organizations or programs for special needs that maybe you have worked with or interacted with that you would recommend?
I'm going to tell you honestly, no, I really haven't. Like I thought we would be really involved with Yale, and that he just did not like Yale, and it was too far. Cherry Hill was far from Franklinville. It was really far. So Spectrum has been the most involved, other than now he has been involved with Unified Sports, but that's been through the school. And I would like to see him get involved in Special Olympics, but I keep hitting roadblocks trying to get information, and I don't know, like, you Google stuff and then you try to send an email out and then you never get a response. And it seems really odd because there's so many kids like through Spectrum Sports that have been involved. So, but Michael at times doesn't realize that he's special. So sometimes he'll say, why am I in a class with this one? Or why am I in a class with that one? He doesn't get where he is sometimes. And because he hangs out with his older brother. He has a brother that's going to be 23. Okay. So when Bobby hangs out at home and his friends are here and they're playing video games, Michael just kind of hangs out on the outside of the group. They never leave him out, but he's not totally invested in the group, but he doesn't realize that he's as special ed as he is. And this summer we went down to the boardwalk with a friend of mine and hanging out, and it was Logan's dad, and we were walking down the boardwalk, and like Derek just knew how to handle Michael and just knew like when to try to get him to calm down, play video games with him. But that was an adult. It wasn't like Michael doesn't know how to hang out with people his own age that are typical developing. He doesn't realize that he starts to twitch or that he is twitching, and like an adult, we could just put our hand on him and say, you know, yeah, everything okay? You're all right? I said, you know, I'll tell my son, you know, you look really weird and nobody wants to be friends with a weirdo. Like when you're doing twitching and stimming and hopping and skipping, you look a little weird and people don't want to be friends with a weirdo, or they don't want to hang out with somebody that's doing that walking down the boardwalk. We adults can just be like, it's okay. You know, like somebody else will look and we'll just be like, it's okay. But it's rough. It's hard. It's rough for him sometimes.
What's Michael's relationship like with his brother?
It's a typical brothers, love, hate. Sometimes they are awesome with each other, and sometimes they want to beat the stuff. He's walking in the door right now. Sometimes they want to beat the stuffings out of each other. So Michael, just come over here and just stick your head on the screen real fast and then go upstairs. Just say hi.
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 birthday in a couple weeks.
So.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. And okay. It's so funny because we think that we're getting our message out to so many different people and we're sharing our information, and it's never enough because there's always more that have never heard of us, or those that are like, oh yeah, interactive kids. It's only little kids, right? No, we're like full lifespan, work with whoever. So it is, it's just really interesting on how to get that information out to people.
And it's bizarre how, like, I found out, like, yes, I was at the Spectrum Splash, Interactive Kids was there, Derek mm-hmm. came to hang out with Michael for me, and then the next thing, he's like, my daughter works for them, and so now I've made a connection through, mm-hmm. like, through very unusual, and that's, I think, that's what happens with a lot of us special ed parents, is that we flounder through, I mean, it's like random, like, wait a minute, I know that person, mm-hmm. but I didn't know they did this. And how can, so we're like, we flounder a lot. Like, we don't know, like, how to connect with one another. And I think that's, and I'm looking at the last question, what can we get away from the journey, is that how do we connect each other? How do we find ways to connect your organization with Spectrum Sports? Like, what can we do? Like, I know I'm doing some big autism thing in Philly for Spectrum Sports, and there'll be a lot of organizations there. Sometimes that's overwhelming. How can we do something that's not where kids are running around, that it's just parent focused or guardian focused, so that we can get the parents to find information, ask questions, but also, like, we've done these meetings at Delsey. And okay, but I have a kid that needs very intensive support. Public mm-hmm. schools have kids that need almost no support when they get done. They need support when they go to college. What do I do for college? Well, mm-hmm. my kid's not going to college. What do I do for when I'm gone? Like, do you know what I mean? What do I do to get them a job so that they can be a functioning part of society, so that they're contributing? I don't want them sitting around just vegetating every day. You know, that's the difference where we are. Like, public schools try to bring people in, but there's too much of a variety. How do we do? Okay, we have parents that are, it's the kids that are 19 transitioning out, the kids that have transitioned out, and this is the ability level that we're going to focus on in the meeting. And how do we get that information out to parents, and how do we get parents to join, either in person, virtual, whatever we choose to do. I kind of hate, like, going to big meetings and it's virtual and you have 8,000 people on a screen and you don't know who's talking and who's asking a question. I like mm-hmm. it, you know, it could be something, how do we pull everybody together? Mm-hmm. So, and all the organizations, that would yeah. be something to help. I mean, I don't know you guys, I probably giving you way too much information, but.
No, we love it.
No, and we do things like that. Like, for example, for us down here at the shore, there's a couple ones like Mike Seafood for Polar Bear Plunge Weekend, yes. which is President's Weekend. They have a tent. We have information out in there along with other providers. There's a provider fair that happens in like 2 months okay. in Northfield at their school that has all different providers, and we put stuff out. And then we share the information on our Facebook page when we're going to be there. And then okay. we try to hook other people up and be like, look, this is coming up. Sometimes, like, down here by the shore, people don't necessarily want to drive all the way down here to present their stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there'll be other things up in the Cherry Hill area. And so, I mean, all of this is Rachel's forte because she is our VP of marketing and development. Okay. Yes. Pimping you out. So honestly, I mean, you'd be a better person to speak to this than me, Rachel.
I mean, I think it starts with what we're doing now. You know, mm-hmm. talking about what we're each seeing and what everyone is experiencing from a parent perspective, a special ed teacher perspective, somebody who's working for a Spectrum Sports. And then, you know, you have us ABA providers, counselors in the area. Mm-hmm. There is so much information out there, as you said, but I think it really just starts with making these individual connections. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you what we did with Spectrum Sports was I saw them on Facebook. I mm-hmm. saw one post and I was like, that's cool. I really like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So we pay attention to what's happening. I've been looking, I've been in contact with other agencies like Spectrum Sports who have tried to put together, you know, exercise activities, tried to bring it, you know, tried to rent out facilities, build their own facilities, have their own facilities, all that stuff. And I always, they've struggled. I haven't seen anyone be able to do what Spectrum Sports is trying to do. Now they have, you know, and they're driven, and they're making some major sacrifices, you know, to make work in their lives. And it started just with, we invited them, we do a movie night every year up in Marlton. And I invited them to come along and they came and they just said yes. And they just kind of went with it. So I think that, you know, putting yourself out there, you know, definitely it is the way to go. You know, I'm on Facebook every day. I mean, everybody is, but like, I'm always looking and liking every single thing that has to do with special needs. And that's kind of how I've been able to find out what, not just what's out there, but what's not out there. And what are other people saying about what they need? But on the flip side, you know, and this is, you know, we have Faces for Autism. They're a big group down in the Lynnwood area. Isabel Mosca started it 20 years ago, started it because she was a parent with a child with special needs and there wasn't anything out there, you know, for her as a parent. Like she needed somebody else to kind of vent to and talk to. And she started Faces for Autism. And now, you know, it's blown and grown up or you know, just expanded. But she will say that there are times she'll have events and nobody's coming. Or she'll have, or the very, very little, you know, is it out there? So I think what everybody keeps trying to do is just try different things. And, you know, and that's all, I think that's all we can do is just keep talking and trying different things and showing up, like which is what you started with the podcast. I don't know if that got cut out or not, but you know, just showing up is will make a huge difference.
Yes, I think so. And I mean, I know Spectrum Sports got involved with Calvary Church in, they're real big with Night to Shine. They're having it this weekend as their Night to Shine. It's the biggest they've ever had. Now we've got involved, they do a dance or sport or a night and they were volunteering. James and Dan were volunteering Friday nights, like twice a month, that there was one night that one of them couldn't go. And I'm like, oh, I'll go do it. You know, like what the heck? Well, I'll figure it out when I get there, you know, like we'll play games. I'll bring the parachute. We'll do something, you know? And that's what, and the parents jump in and help and it's a nice night. So, but that they, like you said, they just keep putting themselves out there to get more people involved and coming and showing up. And it's rough though. It's rough to get people involved and it's rough to find information sometimes, you know? And so, and you think you have a parent that's really involved and the next thing you know, they're like, well, I don't care if my kid stays in my basement for the rest of their lives. I'm like, no, we've got to do something better than your child dwelling in your basement for the rest of their life. No, we've got to do better than that. So, yeah.
And you bring up a good point, you know, like just volunteering and just making it work. A lot of agencies struggle with the funding piece. You know, I mean, I don't know if anybody's independently wealthy here, but you know, you have to be able to do these services. You know, we need something to bill out.
Right.
And that's, you know, I saw all of the parents come together at Spectrum Splash and you guys made that event happen. I mean, I know Dan and James and Matt and the team put a lot of work into that, but that was really, really cool to watch. It was like a homegrown event, I felt like, and everybody stepped in. There was so many parents there.
Yep. And every employee volunteered. Not one employee was paid. When we do those events, we're not paid. We volunteer our time for those events. When I go in April for the autism, I don't even know where the heck I'm going. But I said, oh, sure, I'll go. But when I go, I volunteer my time. I'm not getting paid for that. I don't. And that's another thing that we don't get paid a lot of money. I mean, it's $15 an hour. I mean, that's, you know, it literally pays my gas. When I work for them, it literally pays my gas for the week. That's what I use my money for. And I think we need to do it. Sometimes we need to step up. And they also have reached out to schools so they get kids that need hours for physical therapy, occupational therapy. I've reached out to Boy Scouts. You need volunteer hours. Junior Honor Society. You know, you kids need hours. come work for an hour or two and get your hours in for Honor Society with the coaches supervising them, of course, but they need help. I mean, so that's the way they found to use volunteers. And the parents, when we do things like Spectrum Splash or we do the parties, like they did a Christmas party, we're going to do a spring fling. Parents are willing to come. They donate tons of food. They find people to donate food. For the Halloween party was insane. And the amount of stuff that everybody brought was, you know, it was great. That at times they actually need bigger facilities because that's how many parents and they get for parties. And it was great because there's a DJ that plays for free. Everybody donates their time and energy because we know that this is a population of kids that needs us to donate our time and our energy. And what is it to bring $10 worth of cupcakes? Do you like, what is it to bring, you know, or make them? So, you know, we do it for school, you know, so.
We make it work. Right. Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for everything. This is great.
I think we're going to get to my favorite part, which is our rapid fire questions.
Ooh, okay.
You didn't get these ones. So I'm prepared.
I'm prepared.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a question. You're just going to answer it as quickly as whatever comes to your head.
Oh boy.
So a four-letter word that starts with D, and I just realized how easy this one was.
Dina.
Yes. Your favorite store.
My favorite store. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's hard. My favorite store, Target.
Tool you never leave home without.
A tool?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is mascara considered a tool? I don't know.
It's a wand. Would you rather stay in or go out?
Stay in.
Your go-to lazy dinner?
Pizza.
Favorite hobby?
Working out.
Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Favorite rainy day activity?
Movies.
Eagles or Chiefs?
Oh, Eagles. Eagles. That was easy.
Right. And your life motto?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one. It is what it is. It is what it is. What are you going to do? So.
Right. But. I love it. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. All right, ladies. And I do thank you. Thank you for including me on this.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Dina, I have some contacts I'll send over your way. Because we've really just interviewed like everybody that would probably be able to help. So.
And I'm going to friend you on Facebook if that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rachel's our director of stalking.
Okay. Director of stalking. I love it. And hopefully I'll be retired a year from June. Hopefully that'll be my retirement year. If not, it'll definitely be the year after. Just have to worry about financial and insurance stuff for the boys. That's all. But
right.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it is what it is, right?
It is what it is. Right. Gotta figure it out. Gotta roll with it.
Mm-hmm. So. That's right.
All righty. All right, ladies. Awesome. Thank you very much.
All righty. Dina.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey.
Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.